Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Fish sandwich faith. If I could draw your attention to that passage there in verse number 5, says Jesus looked up and saw the crowd coming towards him and said to Philip, where are we going to get bread for everybody? Hey, let's buy bread for everybody to eat. Let's feed everybody. And he asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. He already had in mind what he was going to do. Beloved, I have a presentation to make to you. I have an argument to make to you on behalf of God, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to present a gospel to you. Before I get into the depth of this gospel, might I begin with something that the Holy Spirit said to me last night when I was pulling this sermon together. And this morning, I wasn't sure if I was going to share it. I put it in the notes, but I wasn't positive. But then when I listened to Pastor Tyrus this morning, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will confirm to you that there are some things that needed to be said in the sermon. I wasn't really sure who was going to be here. If you're in the room, I believe it's not an accident. I believe you are here by God's divine purpose. If you're watching right now, wherever you are, India, Africa, Australia, Canada, wherever, this is not an accident that you're tuning in at this particular moment. And I thought maybe, just maybe, somebody might need to hear this idea, and that is that God already has in mind what he is going to do. Pastor Tyrus said, all things work together. Pastor Tyrus said, you may not know it, you may not like it, you may not know his mind. We spent some time in here shouting this morning. If you've been here the whole service, we spent some time shouting around the fact that even though there may be some stuff that's not perfect, God's got a plan for me. I need a witness. I don't know who that's for. God's got a plan for me. As a matter of fact, God already has in mind what he is going to do in your situation. God already has in mind what he is going to do in my situation. He already has a plan. You may not have a plan. God has a plan. You may not know what the end is, but God knows what the end is. You may not know what's going to happen, but God knows. And really, in a sense, connected to these verses, this is a test. This is a test. The Lord Jesus turns to the disciples, sees the great crowd, and says, hey, let's buy food for them. And the word says, he actually said this to test his disciples, because sometimes when you're a disciple, you get tested. Sometimes when you have a relationship with God that's close, tests will come. Sometimes when you're near to God, sometimes when you're more than just someone on the periphery, sometimes when you're more than just somebody that just comes every now and then, sometimes when you decide to get close to him and know him and have a prayer life and ask him for stuff and believe him for stuff and speak things in, sometimes when that happens, God tests you. God tests you. So this really is a test. The Lord says to Philip, hey, Philip, this crowd's crazy. I want to buy everybody something to eat, even though he has in mind the miracle that he's about to work. But he leaves it up to them first, just to test them. Now, I don't know, maybe this is just for me, but I found myself in a situation where the Lord has left me for a little bit where I almost feel like I have to handle it myself. The way it's come at me, the way it's been presented, even though I've got God in my life, even though I love the Lord, I find myself in a situation where I'm like, Lord, are you here? Lord, are you in this? Lord, are you going to do something? God, Do you have a plan? Because this thing is looking like it is all on me. This situation is looking like you expect me to do something that in myself, I can't do it. I mean, it would take half a year's wages just for everybody to get a bite. Like, Lord, you're talking crazy, and you're asking me to buy it. You're asking us to buy everybody something. All along, the Lord had in mind what he was going to do. So before I get into my real presentation, I just wanted to start with this encouragement. Maybe it's for somebody in the room. Maybe it's for somebody watching around the world. You think it's all on you right now, but God got something he about to do. You think it's all on you right now, but God has something in mind. And he has allowed you to think that it's all on you to test you to see, can you trust him? To test him to see, where is your attitude? To test him to see, what do you really believe? To test him to see, what kind of faith do you really have? We all want faith, but we don't want it tested. We all want to walk around in faith. We all want to say, I've got faith. But when test time comes, we're not all that interested in the testing of our faith. We're only interested in the acquiring of our faith. We're not necessarily interested in the testing. We are interested in the power. We're interested in the results of faith, but we're not necessarily interested in it being tested ever. And I'm sorry, hate to hurt your feelings, but I want you to know every now and then there's gonna be a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Some of y'all got some news this past week. It's just a test. Some of you didn't say something scared you after that. It's just a test. The beginning of this is that it's a test, and the challenging thing is, what does God have in mind to do? I threw that on the screens. What does God have in mind to do? That's really the challenge, to see what he sees. I've spent the last 38 years, I started preaching when I was 15, and now about to be 53, from 15 to 53, that's a lot of years. And one of the main things, well, let's not do the math, but that's, somebody said, that's older than, that's long, I ain't even alive. Okay, thank you very much, young person. But what I'm saying is I have spent most of that time trying to see what does God see and what is God saying. Now, it got me in trouble because I was born and raised in a very strict denomination. And if you have ever been in a strict denomination, they want you to see what they see. I can't go no amens in here. They want you to see what they see. They want you to see church the way they see church, and they want you to like what they do. They want you to like that usher. They want you that with the glove on. That's what they want. They gonna march in every week. We march into Zion. Beautiful, beautiful. They want to sing the same songs every week, and they want you to like it. They want you to accept the denominational theological perspective that they have gathered. They think it's what God is saying. Maybe it's what God said 25 years ago, but it was good enough for them, so it's good enough for you today. We used to sing a song that said, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. It was kind of little, you know, West Indian song. Good for Paul and Silas, a good for Paul and Silas, a good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. No, it's not! It is not. Sorry, old-time religion is not good enough for me. Old-time religion didn't have no air conditioning in it. Oh, I wish I had. Old-time religion, you had a fan with the family on there. Stop acting like y'all don't know. Old-time religion, you was there all day. Old-time religion, Sunday school started at 9:30. There was children's Sunday school and adult Sunday school. And the person teaching adult Sunday school was not good. But we gotta let them do some kind of talking. Where am I? Where's the real saints at? Old-time religion, service started at 11-ish. Old-time religion, you had testimony service, and Mother Lemon Juice told her same testimony every week. Old-time religion, you had an hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Old-time religion, you had prayer requests, and let all of the unspoken requests be made known by the raising of your hand. Old-time religion, Deacon Johnson came to lead us to the throne of grace and said the same born prayer. Thank you, black girl. Said the same born prayer every time. I need a witness in the building. Old-time religion. The preacher preached for 3 hours. Old-time religion. He just up there mumbling. What would God have me to say today? And it's good to see that Brother Tice is in the service today. How's your uncle doing, Brother Tice? Welcome, welcome, welcome. And let's see. Let's read from old-time religion. I'm sorry, but and I want you to know, it has gotten me into trouble. It has gotten me fussed at. It has gotten me pushed out. It has gotten me rejected. You all don't see nobody rushing in here trying to bishop-fy me. Because the problem is, when I get around the stuff, when I get in there, I'm wondering, is God in this? Is the Lord in this? Does this work for today? Will anybody want to go here? Will anybody want to hear this message? Will anybody want to live the rest of their lives in condemnation? Because I went to the altar every week. Pastor Andy don't have enough altar calls. Well, it's because I went to the altar call every week. Aerie. Matter of fact, if you didn't go to the altar call, they almost looked at you a little funny, like, see, that's your problem. You don't realize how nasty you are. Someone's wrong with you. They didn't just let folk come to the altar who wanted to come. They made you come. Come on, get up. Come on, get up, Preston. You know, you come on, get yourself on down here before the Lord. No. And they, because they just figured everybody need to be guilty every week. They taught about the rapture. I don't know. They taught about the rapture. He coming like a thief in the night. I'll catch you with your works undone. I was so scared of the rapture. I ever tell the story of how I went to school? I'm the oldest. I went to school, first grade. When I came back from school, I was six. I came back from school. My mother had taken my brothers and sisters to the park. She left the door open for me so I could get in case she wasn't back yet. And when I got in and I was running around and nobody was there, I thought I missed the rapture. Oh, I wish I had. I was six. I was like, I didn't miss the rapture. Jesus came back. Two men walking up a hill. One went away. One left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. I was so terrified. My mama came walking up with the stroller. I was crying. She said, what's wrong? I said, Mama! I thought I missed the rapture. Y'all remember a couple years ago when that dude, Hank Hinegraaff or whoever it was, said Jesus was coming back? Remember? A few years ago, he said, this is it. He's coming back. This year, when we turn 2020 or 22,000, year two, whatever year it was, this is it. Jesus is coming back. And I said, I know no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. Don't nobody know. Although that night, I went to bed with my Bible on my chest. I served myself communion. Oh, yes, I did. I didn't have no grape juice, but I had some orange juice. Yes, I did. I broke bread. I had juice. I served myself communion. LaShawn tried to get with me. I was like, get off. Don't touch me, girl. This is not the time to be carnal. Jesus might be cracking the sky. I had my Bible on my back, and I went to sleep going, Jesus, I'm ready. When I woke up the next morning, I said, I knew I didn't miss. No, I knew that dude didn't know. Although I thought to myself, but what if I missed the rapture? I mean, LaShawn was already gone. She's already up and gone in the morning, you know? And I thought, man, and the kids was gone while they went to school. I'm thinking maybe they went to school. Or maybe it's gone. Maybe I missed the rapture. Started thinking, who could I call to see if they're still here? I ain't calling you, Preston. I know you down here with me. I was thinking, who can I call? Not none of these armor bearers. Garland gonna be like, hello, can I help you? I'm gonna be like, who can I call? Call my mama. I know my mama ain't gonna miss the rapture. I called my mama. It took her about four times to answer. I was getting nervous. I was like, okay, come on, mama, now. She said, hello. I said, mama! What I'm saying to you is, I wanna know, what does God have in mind? And here's my point. I'm gonna tell you right now what God has in mind for all of you that are in the room and for all of you that are watching literally around the world. What God has in mind to do is, one of the things I love about God is that what God has in mind to do is to provide. Tell somebody provide. If you're near enough, somebody socially distanced, but say provide. Tap a seat and say provide. God has in mind to provide. I love this about the Lord. He has a mind to provide. He has a mind to provide if you write. He has a mind to provide if you ain't right. I want somebody to be honest and wave at me when God has provided when you were still kind of raggedy. Oh, thank you. We got some honest people in where God made a way for you and you weren't doing right the night before you did something rash. The night before you made a booty call. The night before you was in the club bottle full of. The night before you did something and the next day you got a job. The next day you got some favor. The next day, God is Jireh. He is a provider. And I want you to know there's something special about providing for people that don't deserve it. There's something special about providing for people that are shocked that provision came. Sure, it's amazing to provide for folk that have faith. But there's something even greater. God wants to provide, which is why I love this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The gospel, this story is in all of the gospels. In Matthew, it's in there. In Mark, it's in there. Matthew 14, I think it is. Mark 6, I think it is. Luke 9, I think it is. And here in John 6, the story of Jesus providing and feeding thousands of people, 5,000 men. We know there's a boy in the story, so we know there's more than just that. They're saying it's estimated between 5 to 15,000 people. One of the miracles of Christ is a miracle of provision. One of the miracles of Jesus Christ is he worked a miracle to provide food for people's bellies. And so I want to take just a minute just to break down the story. I'm going to mesh all of the accounts together. I'm going to take them all to be true, even though they all have a little bit of different nuances in it. And I'm just going to share with you, and I'm going to pray for you and let you know I got a word for you. The first part of it, Jesus feeds 5 to 15,000 people. It's a miracle that's recorded in all the Gospels. I believe it's a miracle that actually happened. And how it starts, the beginning, in case you're taking notes, the beginning, how it starts, a part of what is a little bit different in the Gospels is how it all begins. In most of the accounts, what has happened, and I'll throw it on the screens, in most of the accounts, what has happened is that John the Baptist has been beheaded. John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus goes away to a solitary place for just a minute and comes out, and the crowd is there, and he still provides even when things are not perfect. We have to allow for the possibility that Jesus is upset that John the Baptist has been beheaded. We know that Mary visited Elizabeth before John the Baptist, after Elizabeth conceived, after the Holy Ghost filled Mary with Jesus, they met together. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. So we know that they were cool when they were pregnant. Do you think if they were cool when they were pregnant, that they weren't cool afterwards? You do realize that maybe, just maybe, Jesus and John the Baptist grew up with each other? It's possible they were kids together. It's possible that they had a relationship. It's possible that they knew each other. I know, see, we want to so spiritualize it that this is the greatest prophet and this is the Messiah. Yeah, but were they prophet and Messiah when they were six? See, we got them 5 full of the Holy Ghost. We got them 5. They were 5-year-old boys in the same family. If you've ever been around 5-year-old boys, you'll know 5-year-old boys be doing stuff. John the Baptist has been beheaded, and Jesus goes to a solitary place, more likely because he is upset because they have killed his cousin. And I just want it to be all right for you to be saved and love God, and something happened in your personal life and it not be the best. Can that be okay? Can we stop glossing over stuff that happens in our personal life? Can we acknowledge they done killed his cousin? And Jesus is still moved, even though his heart is broken. I don't know if you've ever been there where you had to do something even though you didn't feel right. You had to do something even though you were sad. You had to do something even though your heart was broken. You have to do something for me. You'll have to forgive me. This kind of hits personally towards me because I feel like we live in a world in which we want to behead prophets. There's a hunt out for prophets. There's a hunt out for men of God. There's a hunt out for preachers. And I don't know about you, but every time I hear a story of any preacher who's been, my heart goes out because it makes me think to myself, wow, y'all really think that preachers ain't human. Don't stop me from preaching, but my wife will tell you, there are times when I sit down and I just cry and I just think to myself, this is a tough thing to do. To give you Jesus when I need him. Oh, my Lord. To teach you mercy when I need mercy. To teach you the blood when I need the blood. But that's how it starts in most of the accounts. There's another way it starts, particularly in John 6, which is why I like John 6, and that is that Jesus teaches and heals and then decides to feed everybody. In John 6, it's like they're on the other side. Jesus is there. He's looking at the ministry that they've done. He has taught them. He has healed their sickness. And then he says, hey, Philip, let's feed everybody's belly. I love that. I love a God that understands that my stomach growls. I love a God that's all right with my humanity. I love a God that's all right with the fact that I have an appetite. I love a God that's all right with the fact that you're looking at your clock here in North Carolina and you're wondering, when does Bojangles close? When is Biscuitville done? That's okay, baby. I'm hungry. I'm all right with a God that doesn't expect you to totally ignore your flesh just for the Holy Ghost. That's an unrealistic God I don't want to serve. Anybody ever fall asleep at all night of prayer? Oh, I wish I had a witness. I know I'm not the only one. Went to a church where they had a shut-in. Stop it, stop it. Y'all see, y'all didn't go to real church where they lock y'all in. And you, I don't know if you ever got in trouble for falling asleep. How dare you fall asleep at 3 a.m.? This is prayer time. We've called a solemn assembly. What I'm saying is, I love a Jesus that says, hey, we have preached. We have had a great service. We have healed. This is awesome. Hey, let's have some food. I'm sure everybody's hungry. Let's feed everybody. I love a Jesus that cares that I'm hungry. Then there's a second act. The second act is, and it's some differences in the story, is the disciples want to send everyone away. These are connected. The disciples want to send everyone away. The disciples, in most of the accounts, the disciples say, hey, this has been great. We've had a great church. Church started at 10. All right, it's about 11:45. All right, let's wrap this up and let's send people somewhere so they can eat. We're in a remote place. These people are probably hungry. It's getting late. Everything gonna close. We got to let these people go. Stuff closed at 10. Can't keep having service. It's getting dark. We got to let these folk go. Send these people away so they can go find something to eat. That it's possible for disciples to put a limit on the miracle power of God. I'm not trying to be overly deep, but for all of us who are disciples, all of us who are leaders, all of us who are apostles, we have to be careful that our estimation of the world does not put a limit on God's power. But in most of the accounts, the disciples, they are looking out for the people, and they are saying, let's send everybody home. In the John account, Jesus says, hey, let's feed everyone. In the other accounts, they're saying, let's send everybody home. And then Jesus says, no, y'all feed them. No, let's y'all give them something to eat. And then they're like, well, what are we going to give them to eat? But in John's account, Jesus just says, has in his mind what he wants to do already and says, you know what? I've healed. I've taught. We've had good church, and now I want to meet some needs that are physical. I love that. That God has a need to feed. Then the third act, I'm almost done. There's only four acts. Then the third act of the story in the Gospels is the fish sandwich appears. I want y'all to see this right. These loaves and this fish, this is a fish sandwich. If anybody ought to be familiar with fish sandwich, it is folk in the South. All of y'all that are in the South with me, y'all know a fish sandwich. Most of you watching around the world, I hope you know a fish sandwich. A fish sandwich isn't even a sandwich. Fish sandwich that you eat as a sandwich. They put the fish on the bread and you open it up and you put your hot sauce, you put your hot sauce on there and you break a piece off and you eat a little bit of bread with it. You don't eat a fish sandwich altogether. It's too crumbly. It falls apart. That's a chicken sandwich. Ooh, it's time to go. That's a chicken sandwich. There's a whole nother kind of anointment on a chicken sandwich, but this is a fish sandwich. And in most of the Gospels, the fish sandwich appears. Hey, here's a fish sandwich. And Jesus does a miracle with a fish sandwich. But in John's story, which is why I read John's story, and why I love John's story, is that a little boy gives up his fish sandwich. In all the Gospels, I'm sure that there are people that hear what they're trying to do. You can even surmise that when Jesus says to his disciples, you give them something to eat, that the disciples kind of went out to the crowd and said, hey, what's going on? You know, what you got? And trying to figure out, can we collect enough food? And it looks like there's about 15,000 people here. Guys, how are we gonna get enough food to feed all of these people? Well, let's see what we've got. And they're going around, and you could make an argument. If you think that this little boy is the only person amongst 15,000 people that has a fish sandwich, you got another think coming. This boy, a boy, I don't know if you've ever been around a boy. I'm sure he's not a baby boy. And we're probably talking about a teenage boy. And if you've ever been around teenage boys, they don't give up their food easily. Food's a big deal. Ask a little boy. Ask a 14, 15, 16-year-old boy for his last bite of something, and you might get cussed out. A boy gives up his fish sandwich. And then the fourth act is there's a miracle of provision. I speak that over everybody. I speak it over your life. I speak it over your money. I speak it over your refrigerator right now. I speak it over your business. I speak it over every dream you have. I speak provision over you. I speak a miracle anointing on you. I preach and pray that everything you touch will go to another level. I pray that what you put your hands to do will prosper. I pray that little will be much when God is in it. I pray that they give you the accounts and they double. I pray that they give you the new district and it blows up. I pray that you get into the new arena and all of a sudden the arena takes off. I pray that you will find yourself in a business situation that's growing. I rebuke you all of a sudden getting a beeper business when the beepers are over. I bind that. I bind you finding yourself in an industry that's no longer growing. I pray that if you're watching and you're going to school, I pray that you are in an industry that's about to blow up. I pray that you will find a piece of property and buy it and not know why. And 5 years from now, it's worth $50 million. I pray that there will be things that you can't explain. I pray that God's favor will be on your life and that God will take your fish sandwich and make it so big that it can feed 15,000 people and there be leftovers so that it won't go to waste. Who will receive that around the world? I speak that right now. What good is a God that only wants to touch you spiritually and maybe heal your sickness? I want a God that provides. And I got my hands up. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I got some ideas. I want the Lord to blow my mind. I am so sorry. I want God to take my money to a whole nother level. I want to invest and it blow up. I want somebody to whisper to me the new app. I want to know. I want Bitcoin if it's going. I want to invest in a company at $2 and it be worth $1 million in a week. I want God to bless me. Every time I drive past the Powerball, I want God to give me the number. I wish I had an honest saint in here. I drove by it on the way in here. 417 million. Pastor Al, I said, God, I will tithe off of that. Some of you, the scripture numbers I gave you, you wrote those down. You said, okay, what was it again? It was 6, 25, 29, 5, 13. Come on, Holy Ghost. And if you play it and hit, you owe me, you owe me. Come in here and pay your tithes. Pay your tithes, lottery winner. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying to you is, I'm believing God for you, but I also want to ask you, where are you? There's three possible slots for you to be in. The first slot, you can't be Jesus. Ain't nothing you can ever do to ever be Jesus. We done established that. You trying to be like Jesus, but you ain't Jesus. And so there's three possible slots for you to see yourself in this story. The first slot is the multitude. There's nothing wrong with being in the multitude. There's nothing wrong with being in the crowd. Jesus has compassion for the crowd. There's nothing wrong with you having a need. There's nothing wrong with you believing God right now for him to work a miracle in your life and to feed you today. Nothing wrong with that. And if that's your situation, I speak life and not death, blessings and not cursings. If you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your rent next month, I speak provision over your life. I pray that God will work a miracle for you. If you're trying to figure out how you're going to eat today, I believe that the God I serve is Jireh and he can meet your need. If you come to God saying, I am hungry, I need God to provide for me. If you don't have a job and you are like, I need God to provide me a job, I add my faith to yours right now, and I believe that God can provide whatever you need in this room and for all of you watching around the world. There's nothing wrong with you seeing yourself as the multitude. But there's another group, there's another way for you to see yourself, and that is to see yourself as the disciples. When you're the disciple, you have the responsibility of thinking about other people besides you. The disciples aren't wondering if they're going to eat. The disciples are wondering, are the people going to eat? You can't be a disciple and not think about the crowd. You can't be a disciple and not think about the world. You can't be a disciple and not think about the community. We messed it up by telling everybody that the only way to be a disciple is to just think about church or just think about who Jesus is. But that's not really what it means to be a disciple, because Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the church would be at another place if the disciples decided to wonder, "Who does the world say we are? What do men have to say about us?" When you're a disciple, you aren't just thinking about your belly. You're thinking about the belly of the crowd. And if you can ever think about the belly of the crowd, you will always have provision, because you get to have the 12 baskets that are left over. Oh my God. After everybody leaves, you are there with the blessing of the miracle, because you will always have when it's not just about you. We could ever get this, we would understand that the way to blessing is not to always be trying to get something. The way to blessing is to think in your mind, how can I help that person? How can I help these people? How can I help single mamas? How can I help young men in trouble? How can I help young men that you can read your paper and be judgy if you want to? Or you can think to yourself, God, how can I make a difference for the crowd? What the church did is the church said, well, they need to come to church. That's your problem. The problem is because the church want to be the police, Elder Paul, and we want to be the law, not the light. And so we want to look at people upside down with a broken leg, and we want to say, see, what happened, baby, was you stopped going to church, didn't you? That's what you. And did you read your Bible today? Mm-hmm. And do you pray every day? Mm-hmm. And that dude you dating, he ain't saved. Well, there you go, girl. And we just want to analyze where folk are wrong instead of pulling them out from under the car and saying to them, I had the exact same accident as you. I had the exact same situation, and I can walk again. And if I can walk, you can walk. That's a disciple. We made disciples that are only focused on the church. And so the church has gotten very small. The family has gotten very small. The church has become very incestuous. Same folk sleeping with the same folk, same people sharing the same theology with the same people that already have it. When two people who are related to one another have sexual intercourse with one another, the baby that they produce can be a very sick, deformed, not smart child. I would contend that that is what's wrong with the church. We have become incestuous with our theology. We only want to worship with people who think like us and talk like us and believe like us. And what we have produced is a crippled, deformed, can't think, can't reason church that the world don't want to hear from. What I'm saying is you can't be a disciple and not think about the crowd. You can't be a disciple and not think it's getting late. These people may want to eat. You can't be a disciple if all you think about is Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, and you don't think to yourself that maybe people might be hungry. And then there's a third spot. And that third spot, and I'm done. Woo! That third spot is the boy with the fish sandwich. The thing that's unique about this story is thousands of people ate, and only one person gave. One person who has the testimony of I gave. I'm sure there were people there that had lunch. I'm sure this one boy wasn't the only one there with a fish sandwich. I'm sure he wasn't. But he was the only one who said, you know what? I can give a fish sandwich today for God to make a miracle take place. Only one. Everybody went home talking about the miracle of the provision. But when the little boy got home and his mama said, what happened? He said, mama, guess what? I was at the service. Jesus was talking. It was powerful. And I heard they wanted to feed everybody. And I thought, ooh, I wonder what Jesus would do if I gave him my fish sandwiches. And I just believed. And so I'm the only, and do you know what, mama? I'm the only one who gave my fish sandwich to Jesus. A whole lot of people ate, but only one person gave. A whole lot of people were blessed, but only one person had fish sandwich faith. One. A little boy had fish sandwich faith. He didn't have faith to eat a fish sandwich. He had faith to give a fish sandwich. Now, last week, beloved, I preached my vision on Victory Park. I asked everybody to make a pledge. I gave everybody a pledge card on this Victory Park vision. I gave everybody a pledge card. I wanted everybody to make a pledge. I wanted everybody watching around the world to make a pledge. On here, maybe it's confusing. Let me explain it to you. When it says monthly, 12-month, 24-month, that doesn't mean that you're going to give that every month. When I ask people to stand up for $10,000, that's not for people to give $10,000 a month. That's for them to give $10,000 over a two-year period. When I ask for people to give $5,000 a month, that wasn't for them to give $5,000 a month every month like a car payment. It was, I'm going to make a pledge of $5,000 to the vision, and I'll give that $5,000 over a two-year period. When I ask people who will give $1,000, oh, it's not $1,000 a month. It's not $1,000 a week. It's $1,000 over a two-week period. And I have $500 on here, and that $500 is not $500 a month. It's not $500 a week. It's $500 over a two-year period. Beloved, the lowest pledges are $500 or $1,000 over 2 years. $1,000 over 2 years, that's 104 Sundays. So if you pledged $1,000 for 104 weeks, that is $9.61. It is a fish sandwich. My God, I need a witness in the building. I found out, what do fish sandwiches cost? Wynette, my assistant, well, kind of sent me a list. She said that there's a place called Scrimp Shack, and their fish sandwich is $7.75. She sent me Jason's Deli. Their fish sandwich is $10.23. Nantucket Grill, their fish sandwich is $14. And Bonefish Grill, their fish sandwich is $17. And Cowfish Sushi Burger Barn, they have a fish sandwich that costs $17. If you pledge $1,000 over a two-year period, that's not $10 a day. That is $10 a Sunday. It's a fish sandwich. I want everybody to clap your hands. It's a fish sandwich. I'm sorry, I was a little bit disappointed last Sunday. When I asked for $10,000, I knew who was going to stand up. When I asked for $5,000, I knew some folks were going to stand up. I did. When I said $1,000, I expected everybody to stand up on $1,000 because I figured everybody got a fish sandwich. We put the pledge online. I expected everybody to at least click $1,000 because I thought to myself, I mean, $1,000 over a 2-year period is $10 a week. That's a fish sandwich. $500 even shouldn't really even be on the card because $500 over 104 weeks is $4.80 a week. That's $5. And beloved, I'm so sorry, but if you don't have $10 a week to give to God's vision, something is wrong. Something's wrong. If you don't have $10, you will always be broke. Now, I know, Pastor, and I love it when you tell the truth. Y'all love when I tell the truth about white people. Let me tell the truth about black people. One of the problems with black folk is we will definitely put more in our gut than we will in a vision that God has given us that's going to significantly, oh, my God, I wish I had a witness in the building. Do you know how much Popeyes made on that chicken sandwich in that first? Do you know how much money they made? $47 million in profit over a chicken sandwich. $47 million. Because we want a chicken sandwich. We want us a chicken sandwich. But when it comes time for a vision that God, and I really want to allow for the possibility that maybe if you didn't make a pledge, you misunderstood. You thought when I said $500, you thought I meant $500 a month. But I don't mean $500 a month. I mean $500 over the course of the next 2 years. That's $5 a week. Maybe when you saw $1,000 on a pledge card, you thought I meant $1,000 a month. I don't mean $1,000 a month. I mean $1,000 over the next 100 weeks. That's $10 a week. We are the people of God. You watch, you pray, you know the Lord, you are saved, you have a relationship with God. We have an awesome opportunity to do something significant for God. And if you don't do it, God will provide it. He'll just have to provide it from people who ain't saved like you. And if you think that I'm not going to take what they give, you got another thing coming. I'm saying, Lord, bring it in however you got to bring it. And if you got to bring it in, then bring it in. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. But what I'm saying to you, beloved, is everyone should have made a pledge. Everyone could make a pledge. Everybody ought to have made one. And everybody should make one now. Because it's not enough to have faith to eat a fish sandwich. What you have to ask yourself is, do you have faith enough to give a fish sandwich a week? One fish sandwich a week. One missed lunch a week. The average of us spends $40 to $50 on lunch every week. That's why we broke. Why we broke, Stacey. It's why we broke, because we eat everything. But what I'm telling you, beloved, is we are at a moment in time in which we are grabbing hold of history with this Victory Park thing. And if you missed it, you can check the videos out. And for those of you watching around the world, this is not a time to eat fish sandwiches. This is a time to give a fish sandwich and have fish sandwich faith. I'm going to make you put your hands together for that right now, for everyone around the world, for everyone that's in the room. So off of that, can I get you to give? Can I get you to pledge? If you weren't here last week, you never got a chance to pledge, you can raise your hands. One of the gatekeepers will come to you right now and give you a pledge card. Give you a pledge card. And we're putting buckets in the front, and you can put your pledge in the pledge card. And I'm also going to take up an offering. I'm going to take a fish sandwich offering really quickly. And I want everybody to give at least $10. At least. What's the most expensive fish sandwich? Was cow bonefish grill, and their fish sandwich was $17. So I want everybody to give at least $17. I want everybody that's watching around the world, I want you to give me a fish sandwich. Can you give me a fish sandwich today? Because some of you can't give me two fish sandwiches. Can you give me two fish sandwiches? Some of you are so blessed, you can pay for five fish sandwiches. Go ahead, and you can give $50. If you need a pledge card, raise your hand. If you were here last week and you heard the vision, but you didn't make a pledge because you just didn't understand. I was talking to one of my goddaughters who's in a master's program, and she was like, oh, Pop, this sermon was so great. And I said, sweetheart, did you pledge? And she's just like, I mean, my student loans, and I'm just so broken, I just can't. And I said, you can't pledge $500? She said, what do you mean $500? I said, yeah, $500 over 2 years. That's $5 a week. $1,000 over 2 years, that's $10 a week. If you can't give $10 a week, there's no way you're tithing. See how quiet it got, son? There's no way you're if you can't right now take a pledge and take a pledge card and pledge $1,000. See, I know because it says monthly. When we're saying monthly, we mean, okay, what's the monthly amount that you're going to commit to? And then because you're going to give a 12-month pledge, or you could give a 24-month pledge. And then you check what that number is. $10,000 over 104 weeks is $96 a week. It's $100 a week above your tithes and offerings. $5,000 is $48. $2,500 is $25. If you give $25 over every week above your tithes and offerings for the next 100 weeks, that's $2,500. That's some money. I already told you, $1,000 is fish sandwich. $500 is Filet-O-Fish sandwich. I don't know if you've ever had that dry, crusty, I can't say their name because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know if you've ever had that crusty, crunchy fish sandwich. I'm not talking about no Filet-O-Fish. I didn't put Filet-O-Fish on here. I started with a good one, a scrimp shack. I ain't even ever heard of that. You know, that's country. And Jason's Deli and Nantucket Grill. But I want you, not only do I want you to fill out a card and make a pledge today towards this victory park, this vision. If you're like, what is it? You can click on it right now. Those of you that are watching around the world, believe me, there'll be a link right after this. Right now, all of you, you were here last, just watched last Sunday's sermon. I've laid out this victory park. Beloved, we don't have long to be in this building. We got 2 years. We got to get the up out of here. It's hallelujah, Pastor Al. Don't judge me. We got to get out of here. And we need you to give like you've never given before. Can I get you to make a pledge? Can you just wave at me and say, yeah, Pastor Andy, I got it. Yeah, PA, sure. I can pledge $1,000 over 2 years. Yeah, sure. I can. Hey, man, well, when you break it down that way, PA, maybe I can pledge $2,500. Because $2,500 over 104 weeks is $24. And if I think about what do I spend $24 on during the week, that's why Jesus said to them, and I didn't exegete it, and I'm sorry, my daddy's watching, and my daddy's a theologian, so I have to fulfill all righteousness. My dad is a modern-day theologian with an earned doctorate, so I don't want to get into trouble. But I'd read that first passage because Jesus said, don't work for food that spoils. He said, y'all are looking for me not because you saw miracles and heard a word. Y'all are looking for me because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You gotta work for more than just your fish sandwich for yourself. You gotta work for something that's eternal. Then they said, what must we do to do the work that God requires? And he said, the work of God is this, to believe. I don't know who you've been with before. I don't know what church you went to. I don't know who let you down. But I want you to know that we have a vision from God. We've got this land around the corner. And we're about to do a work worthy of God's name. And I want you to be a part of it because it's your church. Can I get a witness in the building? It's your church. Come on. It's your church. Come on, it's your church. Come on, it's your church. It's your church. And it's not your church if all you do is sit here and suck up resources. That doesn't make it your church. If all you do is sit in this cushy seat and suck in air conditioning, this ain't your church, really. Ooh, I can't wait for children's ministry to come back. Well, it's really your children's ministry if you give to it. Pastor Alberto's coming back. He sure is. Pastor Alberto's one of the best children's pastors in the country. Do you know how we getting him back? It ain't being nice. Can I get a witness? It ain't being nice. It's because we got to sit down with him. We got to pull a package together for him. We got to talk to him. We got to say, hey, Alberto, you want to come back here to work for us again? He's like, is Pastor Astor there? I said, no. He said, yes. I said, yes, he is. I said, okay, he like Alberto. He like Tyrus. But what y'all going to pay me? There's no amazing children's ministry for free. Oh, I need a witness. Come on, can I get a witness in the building? You know how I know? Because you went to a church where they put everybody down in that dank basement with the mold. Okay, anyway, what I'm saying to you, beloved, is it becomes yours when you give. Once you give, on that card, give us your information, and please give us your cell phone number because y'all don't check no emails. And we are going to let you know the best way for you to give through cash, through check, through cash. We're going to do this thing together. So right now, you're going to make a pledge. Right now, we're going to give. The thing is up. The app is up. You can give. I want you to give at least a fish sandwich. At least a fish sandwich. Maybe two, maybe three, at least $20, at least $50, at least. If God has blessed you, then buy a fish sandwich for someone else. Yesterday, Preston, I was in the barbershop, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm waiting to get my hair cut, and there's a young boy sitting in the chair, and he's getting his hair cut, and his mama's sitting there waiting for him. Clearly, this is his mama. Clearly, she's a single mama. Clearly, this is her son that she's taking him to the barbershop to get his hair cut. Clearly. And after he finished getting lined up and faded up and got his hair cut, and then when he got up, I'm next. I'm getting in the chair. When I sat in the chair and my barber told her what it was, I think it was $20, $15. He said $20. And as soon as he said that and he's putting the thing around me and she opened up her wallet and I said, I got him. I told her, I got him. She said, huh? I said, yeah, I got him. I got him. She don't know me. She wasn't like, oh, Pastor Andy. She had no idea who I was. Everybody don't know me. I said, yeah, I got him. She said, why? I said, why? Because I can. Can I get a witness in the building? Gentlemen, we got to do this. We can't leave these boys on these women all the time by themselves. This is ridiculous. I'm sitting here looking at a woman that got to pull $20 out of her wallet to pay a haircut for her son because we live in a culture now in which at some point, gentlemen, we have to step up and we have got to take responsibility. Okay, I'm done left preaching and gone to meddling. At some point, we have to take care of ourselves. You can buy a fish sandwich for somebody else right now. Watching around the world, you can give. Ooh, I'm over. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this offering that we're about to receive right now. Thank you for the pledges that were made right now. I know, God, the pledges are literally pouring in. People just misunderstood. They thought it was $500 a month. They thought it was $1,000 a month, but it's not. God, it's not. And we are about to build this Victory Park. We are on our way there. God, I know your hand is on us for good, so have your way in us right now. Kingdom of God, come in us right now. Will of God be done in us. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you can jump on your feet. You can drop your pledge card in the bucket. I know so many of us are giving online. For those of you that are giving right now through your app, thank you so much for giving. Thank you for your generosity. You're giving to the work of the kingdom of God. You're giving to a vision that the Lord has given us. Just jump on your feet for just a moment. Let me just pray a dismissal prayer over you. Let the ushers give them just a few minutes just to finish collecting everything really quickly before you run out the door. I know we're just a little bit over. I'm sorry. And that's all right. It's okay. For those of you that are watching around the world, thank you so much for tuning in with us. Let me breathe a final word of prayer over everybody. God, I want to thank you. Thank you for your hand that's on us for good. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you for our miracle. Thank you, Lord God, for the miracle on the multitude. Thank you for the multitudes that are fed with fish and loaves. Thank you for the disciples that are thinking about the crowd. Thank you for everybody that gave a fish sandwich today. Thank you for everybody that's pledging a fish sandwich. Thank you, God, right now for fish sandwich faith. Now, God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. Stretch forth your hand to heal and perform a miracle, a sign, and a wonder through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Watch over your people. Cover your people. Make your face shine upon your people and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. Oh, well, don't touch nobody. Sorry. COVID.